He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to Wednesday morning, everyone. This is the March 24th edition of Best Stocks Now Hour. I'm Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital Management, sitting in for Bill today on this Wednesday. Also joining us as usual is our bond portfolio manager and investment advisor here at the firm, Mr. Paul Carlson. Good morning, Paul. I hope your week's going
well. Good morning,
well.
Barry. Yes, I'm having a good week. I hope you are as well.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Doing great. Yeah, just been very busy early on this week. There's a lot, just kind of with that neutral pause, it seems like a neutral pause. Of course, markets were down yesterday, but just kind of seems overall the market's kind of taking a deep breath, doesn't really kind of know which direction to go in terms of, and we'll get into a little bit later the push-pull we've been seeing in the market, and it's kind of a narrative we've been throwing around here at the firm. Today, of course, markets look off a little bit of green on the screen, kind of flat.
Right.
But the overall direction looks pretty in the up direction for markets today. But of course, we've got a lot of economic
stable
data points.
Yep, and stable 10-year so far, 1.62% yield.
Yep, still kind of staying below that 1.75 that I kind of have in my head as a top to kind of get. We get through that, then
start to change.
I think it's kind of time to take another look and see where we go from there. But just a lot of economic data points on the calendar today. Chairman Powell, Yellen spoke yesterday afternoon. They're going to be other members of the Fed are going to be speaking throughout the day today. So usually in those times, you usually have kind of the markets kind of a hurry up and wait approach.
Exactly.
Kind of digested, and then you can kind of watch the market on every word. And see how it's affecting things. The most important thing we'll be looking at, obviously, is the 10-year Treasury, the all-important 10-year.
And then Powell and Yellen are speaking in front of Congress again today, I believe.
Right. Yep. They'll be speaking, and then I think we've got some Fed governors speaking or members later on in the day today too. I think there's one at 7 p.m. I think. From a world market perspective, that'll be on the docket for a lot of folks today.
We already had Barkin, and then there's Williams, and
Evans. It looks like Evans got the prime time 7 p.m. slot. I don't know if that's good in the economic world or if that's when everyone's already nap time. But in terms of oil is bouncing back today. It's just that like I said, that push pull theme, primarily because we've got, as you texted me this morning, we've got a traffic jam in the Suez Canal. So
I saw an update that it was a container ship that had completely blocked the Suez Canal, but the update just came across that the tugs have. Dislodged it and moved it somewhat, and they think the canal will open later today or tomorrow at the latest. So that's good news.
Well, very interesting. Yeah. It's it looks like it was a 224-ton ship. Looks like the gridlock is causing about at least 100 of vessels or more traffic jam trying to get through. Apparently, there's also were some high winds and dust storms. So it wasn't like they just ran aground. There was apparently some conditions that they were dealing with as well. I think it point out 10% of the oil trade goes through the Suez Canal, at least seaborne oil trade, and then it looks to be
about the same in goods, right? Or 12% in goods,
right? And it looks from all accounts, it looks like the disruption should be pretty quickly temporary.
Relatively.
I guess on a silver lining there is you know, at least it's a traffic jam that's messing up the blocking up the Suez Canal versus some geopolitical conflict, which right. You know, has certainly happened from time to time.
We're always concerned about.
Yep.
Right.
So, and of course, Brent crude is usually the one that's affected most by that, because that's the main version that kind of runs through there. So as we some other things, the push pull theme, we've got day before oil prices were down, plunged 6%. Like I said, they're bouncing back today, almost back up to $60 a barrel. But some of the we've kind of harped on it a good bit, is just, you know, the slow recovery and problems with the vaccine and things in Europe, and how that's kind of spilling over into the rest.
Germany
of
extending the lockdown because they're concerned about the UK variant, and they're calling it a whole new pandemic. So
yeah, and so
which
they
is not good.
Yeah, and so they extended it, right, and so oil went down. Mm-hmm. And then this morning, I see where Merkel actually reversed the decision is to impose the five-day lockdown. So they're kind of, you know, I don't know. It's just they're getting some mixed messages over there. They've also, they just had the with the AstraZeneca vaccine, where they had the clotting issues and slowed down, and then are kind of back up and going again. But you know, that kind of that's going to reduces some travel, for instance, on some recovery names here, right? You travel to Europe,
Carnival,
and it's kind of pushing that, really just kind of pushes that whole summer travel season that, I've been looking at Ryanair. I'll find their symbol in a little bit, but Ryanair is actually kind of just it's RYAAY. It's not traded here on the exchange here, I don't believe, but in terms of, I've been using it as a judge of, of kind of Europe's recovery, because that's a lot of intercontinental, think of Southwest here. Ryanair is a good example of that. They're going to get some benefits from the UK, getting everyone vaccinated kind of on time. But Europe, that European business is, the good chance they might miss a lot of that summer travel, and that's not going to help, help any of the businesses in that area, certainly.
It's Ryanair, RYAAY, as you said, and it's actually up today, 3.5%, 113.
Yeah, and part of that was due, right, and part of that's due, obviously, to Merkel kind of rolling back some of those restrictions. But, yeah, I've been, it's kind of a proxy I've been using, and we'll get into a couple of other proxies later on when we look at some of the recovery. But if we've got a couple minutes here before the first break, you want to get in some numbers in terms of where we're at around the world in terms of returns?
Yeah, I can do that for sure. So let's see, overseas we've got,
I know Asia was kind of had a rough day, at least in Japan and Hong Kong.
Yeah, my page reset here, 1 second.
Yeah,
so in Asia, Japan down 2%, Hong Kong down same 2%, China down 1.3%, India down 1.7%, in Europe, London down 0.2%, Paris the same, 0.2% loss, Frankfurt down 0.4%. As we said, the 10-year treasury is at 1.62. Where's Bitcoin? Is that on here? Yeah, that's up 3%. 56,430 per coin.
Yeah, yep. The digital gold.
Yeah, we talked about crude already. And then we've got our markets, S&P up 0.5%, 18.5 points at 3,929. The Dow 30, that's up about 1%, 318 points, 32,740. NASDAQ down 0.3%, that's down 42 points at 13,184. The small cap Russell 2000 having a nice bounce here, up 0.5%.
Yeah, rough day.
Points.
Rough day yesterday.
2,200 on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, silver is basically unchanged. We had talked about crude oil. So.
Yeah. In terms of, I saw, one thing that caught my eye was the, some of the small cap indices, Russell 2000 specifically, had a rough day. I think it was down maybe a little bit over 3% yesterday. Which there's a push pull back between, reflation play, or, is it going to be delayed in some sense, right? So, We're kind of back where we were, you know, kind of almost this time last year, right, where bad news was, you know, bad COVID news, right, was bad news for, you know, for the reflation trade, right? Your, of course, you know, your airlines, things like that being the poster child for that, but also just for economic recovery, right, and some of the, saw some softness in the bank names, some softness in the, in, you know, in the miners yesterday, so. It was just kind of a broad market sell-off. I mean, a lot of that has to do with the fact of, you know, as any semblance,
any semblance
of the recovery slowing, you know, that's where we're going to be. That's where we're going to get at. So
we'll do the economic reports when we come back.
Yeah, we've got a good bit of news there. So stick with us. Best Stocks Now Hour. We'll be right back for the second quarter. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with your hosts Barry Kite and Paul Carlson, sitting in for our captain Bill Gunderson today. Looks like
hello, Barry.
Yeah, hello there, Paul. Looks like, you know, markets are similar, kind of behaving a bit. Good bit of dichotomy today between between the Nasdaq. It's down about 62 basis points. Which is down about 0.62, and that's 81 points at 13,145. The Dow,
look at the
actually,
Dow on the other
almost
side,
a mirror,
yeah,
a mirror opposite. That's kind of that barbell, kind of, you know. I know that's more
rotation.
Of a bond term, right, for you in historically, but kind of thinking it nowadays as a, you know, kind of a blend between, you know, some of those value names, right? Some of those miners on one side and then, you know, kind of your, some of your semiconductors on the other side, and almost looks like a barbell approach from that perspective. But you've got,
we have semi news too today.
Yeah. Yep. And we've got Dow. I mean, the Dow's up, you know, 90 basis points, you know, which, you know, to me shows, you know, good news of the recovery, right? That's where you're going to, you know, that's where you're going to kind of see that. And, kind of, you know, kind of in this segment, just kind of, you know, wanted to, you know, hit a bit on, you know, some of the, you know, kind of the bad, so kind of some of the bad news, bad, you know, things impeding the recovery. And then on the other end, right, some of the signs of, you know, which we hit on actually on Friday, some of the good signs, and, you know, kind of how that, you know, how that's being interpreted by the market. And that's, you know, truly is what's driving this, you know, difference in dichotomy between the Dow and the Nasdaq currently.
So, we saw that in the economic reports. The first two today were bad, as you call it. Mortgage apps decreased 2.5% week over week. They're down, and the refi index down 5% week over week, and that's down 13% year over year. We've had rising mortgage rates for 7 weeks in a row now. And then durable goods orders was the first drop in 10 months, and that was a drop of 1.1%. Some of that caused by the autos because of the chip shortage, like we mentioned, Intel, and we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, so
auto orders were down, supply issues, so autos down 8.7% on the durable goods figures. And I might as well continue then. We'll do the good ones, right?
So yeah, let's do it. Yeah, hit those, and then that'll feed into everything else we've got in this segment. That'd be great.
Yeah, so the PMI was up, or was at 59.1. That's the composite. That beats the prior and the consensus. And then the manufacturing was 59, and the services 60, both beating consensus. So those were good.
Well, when I saw it, it was the second fastest since April 2010, which is, you know, that's pretty huge. And then also, I think on the services side, which is what makes up a good bit of the U.S. economy
60.
Nowadays.
Yeah.
Right. It's you know, I think it shows a I think it was one of the largest in history, if not, it was a 6.5 year high. That's what it is. So.
Mm-hmm.
Sector growth is at a 6.5 year high. So, I mean, that's a, I mean, I'd say,
yeah, I think if the cruise ship's going again and all that, and
right.
where will that go?
And so you, you know, you kind of compare both of those right together. You know, the I will say, you know, the one benefit, I think, you know, silver lining on the durable goods side is, you know, at least it was supply driven, right? It wasn't the demand. It doesn't, you know, it sounds like the demand was there, right? We just didn't they just didn't have this, you know, didn't have, you know, things on the shelf, if you will. I know we're talking about cars mostly, but you know, so from that perspective,
cars on the lot, whatever.
Yeah. One other piece of, you know, kind of news is, you know, we keep hearing about inflation, you know, the worries of inflation, at least in the short term. And, you know, you can get a UK reading that came out, you know, earlier today. There's unexpectedly slows to 0.4% annual inflation. So, you know, there's, I mean, some countries would prefer inflation because usually that's also accompanied by growth. But, you know, that just kind of gives you some of those, you know, data points that we want to look at in terms of, you know, where we think, the direction of the market's going. And you're just getting kind of a mixed bag, lately. You know, yesterday, for example, right, with, you know, in a lot of it, to me, a lot of it still go, you know, revolves around and likely should. Around infection rates and issues, you know, variants and spikes
in the variants,
right. And so, you know, with certainly with you know, the Eurozone's a one of the largest three economic zones in the world, right? With them having issues, right? You know, kind of so it kind of you look at you're pushing back the recovery, right, just a bit, right, in terms of your timeline. And so yesterday you had, you know, shares of Boeing, you know, fell almost 4%. Caterpillar, over 3%. Deere, one we own, was down 3.7%. Freeport.
But they're bouncing back today.
Yeah, Freeport, you know, was down 8% yesterday, right? Copper producer.
Golden copper. Yeah.
You know, and copper is the, you know, is the perfect proxy, right, for economics and economic recovery. And so... you know, those are the sectors, you know, those are the areas. American Airlines was, you know, down 6%, even American Express. Carnival was down over seven. Norwegian was down over seven. So, you know, the point here is, you know, just any type of bad news that impedes the recovery, right, that's going to hurt your, you know, more Dow, more industrial, more reflation names. And so kind of, you know, kind of putting those together, right, you know, is the trick in determining, you know, what's going to win out, right? You know, is it, you know, bad news means we're going to have low interest rates for longer, or, you know, good news means we, you know, going to have a faster recovery, better earnings, you know, in the shorter term, but, you know, potentially with, you know, a larger, potential larger amount of inflation, probably a higher interest rate over time just because, you know, just because that's what should happen as you get, you know, a certain amount of growth.
Kind of normalizing at that point, you know.
Yeah, and you know, we'll get to, you know, like I said, we'll get to some of the things. But one of the neat, before we get to the break here, you know, one of the things Powell kind of mentioned, and you know, in looking at some of their data that I thought was interesting, is in terms of GDP, future GDP, I believe, I don't have the exact number, but I believe they expect it to drop back down to, you know, in that 2% range back in 2023. So, you know, that's right. Where we were. I mean, that's where we were in 2018. I mean, they couldn't get it, right, to, you know, to that 3%, which, you know, we were so used to for an extended period of time. It was, you know, we kept kind of sticking around that, you know, 2 to 3 range in terms of GDP. So, you know, I mean, if they're already, you know, kind of factoring that in down the road, I mean, how, you know, how much, you know, can they essentially ease, you know, or raise in terms of rates going forward. But, you know, we'll see. And percentages are always a tricky game when we're, you know, we're dealing with percentages instead of actual numbers. But, you know, those are, you know, that's kind of the, you know, a bit of the mixed bag. On, you know, on the bad news has basically just been bad COVID news, whether it's, you know, here, UK, abroad, even Hong Kong had some issues with the batch of Pfizer vaccine. But
Pfizer.
We'll,
yeah.
When we come back in the third hour, in the second half, we'll actually get to some good news. We'll also hit some Best Stocks Now, you know, notes in the news, and look forward to hearing back from you. Stick with us, second half. And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Hour. I'm your host, Barry Kite, sending in for Bill Gunderson today. And we, as usual, we have our bond guru, Paul Carlson, on the line. How are you, Paul?
I'm well. I hope everyone's doing well.
Great. Yeah, I mean, we're, you know, the market certainly, at least in the NASDAQ and the Dow, you know, in value and growth are not getting together today. They're looking still moving in opposite directions here, but that's kind of you know, kind of been the theme, and today it's you know, everything's going, you know, went down yesterday, and then today you've got, you know, a bounce back here in the Dow and partially in the S&P as you would expect, and then NASDAQ's still down roughly about 0.5%. So
and Dow's up 1%, right?
So. Yeah, Dow, I'm looking at, it's up about 84 basis points. Yeah, so it's making a nice push today, and part of that has to do with you know, some of the you know, better news in terms of oil prices getting a boost with the Suez Canal
you know, temporary blockage.
Yeah, blockage, if you will. And so that's helping, and also Germany deciding to take back the you know, Easter lockdown that they were gonna have, that they reversed on that quickly. So there's you know, so it's kind of the you know, reinflation trade is back on today, if you will, and I mean, part of that, you know, part of that is, you know, some of the you know, some of the good news in the market, right? We've got you know, in this reflation trade, and certainly our portfolios have reflected it, and Bill's, you know, Bill's hit on it, and in terms of our unconstrained approach, right? We're, you know, kind of flipped the portfolio a good bit in terms of, you know, what names we're looking at, what names are making up you know, or beginning to make more and more of a name in the portfolio, right? And so
you know, yeah, we're up about 0.5% in our portfolios, and that's kind of, you know, you can see that with the Dow, like we said. So
yeah, and I believe Bill, you know, I believe Bill put on a you know, a little bit more of an inverse hedge on the NASDAQ yesterday, and that's turning turning out to look good today as well. But you know, some of the, you know, financials, that's an area, you know, we've kind of you know, that are going to benefit from the reflation trade, certainly with a steep yield curve. If they can borrow, you know, at a low short-term rate and then lend at a higher rate,
long-term,
you know, that spread is how they're, you know, the old-fashioned way, right? The old-fashioned way of banking. And you know, along those lines, today, New York Mellon, they
there
actually got a double upgrade from Bank of America. I don't know what a double upgrade looks like. I don't know if I've ever seen that before. But yeah, I guess we went up two notches. Yeah, they yeah, I guess they, yeah, it looks like they must have gone from a sell to a buy. And so that, you know, that, you know, kind of shows, you know, we've held, what we've added Regions to the portfolio, you know, to the firm recently. That's a regional bank, you know, primarily in the Southeast. And so, you know, that's kind of, you know, what's the playbook, right? As we go through that reflation trade, that's one of them. Another thing in the news, you know, that kind of look at in terms of good news for reflation is Winnebago actually rallied after you know, a great earnings report. That symbol is WGO.
Right.
I thought I got a little chuckle out of it because on Friday, our you and I hit the stock of the day was
stock of the day.
Yeah, it was Camping World. And so, and that's CWH. It's roughly flat, down about 0.3 basis points today. But
yeah,
it just,
know,
kind of feeds in.
50-day moving average, but yeah, a little bit of a correction, but it's testing its 50-day moving average. It's still above it.
And just like homes, you know, think about it. You know, just like homes, lower interest rates, right? Actually, you know, increase the you know, ability, right, to you know, to purchase a
home on wheels.
Yeah, exactly. And so from, you know, so that's a, you know, that's kind of another unique way, right? A name we've added, like I said, added Camping World to the portfolio. So that's another kind of piece of that reflation trade. Another unique one, you know, and I was trying to nail down the container ship company that we owned. This actually story involves Navios Maritime, essentially their mergering with Navios Maritime Containers, which I'm sure is a business they started in the past. But you know, just the the opposite of this, you know, the Suez Canal blockage. We see, here in Charleston, each one of the terminals here has been, too deep, ship-wise, all down the river here on the port, which is, one of the biggest. I think it's the biggest, biggest in the country.
Yeah, they've deepened the East Coast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're taking those larger. Supermax.
Yeah. Right, and so they've been, been unloading those sea cans, day around. I mean, they are running extra. Or they're running. Saw on the news that they're running, basically 24-hour shifts over there in terms of, in terms of getting those containers off, getting the ship out, and getting another one in. Remember, I think Nike had the same problem.
Ardmore Shipping, is that the one we are looking for?
Yes, I think ASC? That's it. Yes, I think
that's in our emerging growth.
Yeah. Right. Yep. And I knew we had exposure to it because we've been, been talking about it in terms of, what's that, what are the names that, where do you want to be, right? And the
that's a 4.25% at almost $5 today.
Yeah. Another unique one, and I've listened to the CEO a couple of times in Revlon as well, but Estee Lauder. Right. Gains as, they get an upgrade kind of from Wells Fargo. Certainly your near term catalyst. Right. I've listened to a couple of their earnings calls and everything was kind of focused on above the mask. Right. Your kind of your beauty tip for the day. It was above the mask, all about the eyes, if you will. And then now. As the masks come off, right? Now they're referring to everything below the mask.
The whole face. Call.
Yeah. So so everybody's got enough eye stuff. Now it's lipsticks, all the other good stuff out there. So that's just another kind of example. They have Estee Lauder listed as an overweight. We've held, I know we had Ulta. I don't think we hold it now. I know we've had Ulta in the past.
No, we don't. We
but, you know, that's a, you know, so we have some, experience in the beauty sector as well. A couple of the names, names we own currently, a couple of ultra growth, names. We had Borg Warner, was actually, in the news. They're getting some positive. They had their investor day. I think the symbol on that's BWA.
Correct.
For disclosure, we own that in Ultra Growth portfolio. But they have exposure. It's a neat way to get exposure to the EV market without
another
having
one
actually,
testing,
yeah, without actually having to pick the winner. Yeah, you don't have to pick the winner. They just provide parts and electrification to the electric vehicle market. So that's a unique play there. I saw where, as Bill referred to as some of the stinky stocks out there, KBR, it's also in the ultra growth. They won an ammonia plant revamp, in
stinky
Russia.
In terms of polluting and that, but not in terms of its earnings. Potential. Right.
Yeah. And that was in, actually in Russia. So they've, we've got some different names, different industries. It's unique as we kind of, as Paul and I kind of pour over these sometimes, the dichotomy of what we've had in the portfolio, right, historically for a good bit. And then now kind of how that's turned over. And it's turned
over. Rotation.
Last couple. We've got At Home. They reported earnings yesterday. That's another one we own in the Ultra Growth portfolio. They beat by 38 cents, and they also beat on revenue. I don't know if anyone out there has been into one of those. Think of Costco, but nothing but home furniture, and there's plenty of plenty of chairs and umbrellas and all kind of set up for your backyard. So, it's certainly a reflation play for and where some of those stimulus checks are going to go as well. But, well, when we kind of busted through through the first three quarters of the show, but we'll be back with our stock of the day here on the last quarter of the hour. And stick with us. Best stocks now. And welcome back here to the fourth and final quarter of the Best Stocks Now Hour. I am Barry Kite, and here with our bond portfolio manager, Paul Carlson. I almost called you the bond guru again, Paul. I know you don't want too much recognition, like the lay low, like the bond guys.
So. But that lead-in song reminded me, go where you want to go. I think, maybe go to GundersonCapital.com. Check out our newsletter. We talk about the stocks that, that we own, and you can learn more in there because you can see the entire portfolios, our transactions we've made. But more importantly, maybe is, kind of the overview of the economy, technical analysis, rankings out of our Best Stocks Now app. And you can do that again at GundersonCapital.com. And if you'd like to talk with Barry or myself, you can give us a call at 855-611-BEST. And, you can learn more about what we've been talking about here.
Yeah, and kind of the when I keep thinking of the go where you want to go is kind of our unconstrained approach to management in terms of how we're investing. And so, we've kind of gotten this, lately we've gotten this dichotomy, right, where we've, got a lot of your old world industrial type names, right? The stinky stocks as fertilizer companies, things, as Bill's referred to them as. And then
petrochemical.
Yeah. And then we also still, we also, cause you just have some exposure, right, to the tech world. And the key is, what's the best way to get that exposure, at least, given our backdrop of where we're at, right? And, we think it's really been in the chip names, right? I think if you're, if it's just say you're in cash and you're wanting to dip your toes right back into something, correlated to the NASDAQ, your chip names to me are going to be kind of your first, the shallow end, if you will, right?
There's an industry shortage. So you see investments being made by like Intel, investing $20 billion for a plant in Arizona.
Right.
So that's good news for the U.S. and for Arizona in particular.
Yeah, and it's good for controlling your own supply chain.
Correct.
That's a lot of, you get a lot of the geopolitical fears involving Taiwan, in terms of, China making a move at some point and what that could do from a supply chain standpoint. So, I think it was Taiwan Semi was building a plant here as well. It was either in Arizona or going to be in New Mexico.
That one was New Mexico, I think.
Yeah. We own
TSM, Taiwan Semiconductor. And I read that the U.S. production fell from 1990 being 35% of the world supply then to about 12% right now. So that is a vulnerability with the geopolitical. Good to see investments here stateside.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the names that as we've divested out of those high PE stocks, we've maintained a handful of semiconductor stocks. One of those is going to be the stock of the day today is ASML, and they're a semiconductor stock. They were up pulling them up. They were up about 5% last time I looked, but. The importance is when you look at, I kind of look at things as, kind of a dichotomy, right? ASML should be, is a tech stock, should be correlated, right? Highly correlated with the NASDAQ. It's up, currently 5.6 today. Symbol is also ASML. It's right. roughly about $590 today. And then you look at the indice, right, and what NASDAQ is, you know, basically flat for the day. Your tech stocks are going to be, you know, your semiconductor stocks are almost, to me, kind of like your, you know, mining stocks of normal industrial production, right? At least that's what they're becoming, they're almost specialized, very specialized commodities, right? Each one a lot of times being unique depending on who the end user, end buyer of the chip is.
That's a good point. Elon Musk had talked about how they used NVIDIA until about, two years ago. And they developed their own just because, you know, NVIDIA has to, you know, basically accommodate all of their customers, right? So whereas Tesla could insource and develop, those microchips specifically for, their purpose. So I thought that was interesting.
Right. Yeah. Cause you've got some chips that are just, off the shelf chips, if you will. But then, a lot of your high end work is going to be, for instance, AMD making the specific chip for the Xbox, right? They're essentially partnering, right, with these manufacturers, which is why it's hard to just, you don't just build a chip factory overnight, right? Which is why we see kind of that supply demand mismatch being there for an extended period of time. There's only going to be more and more demand, certainly as, whether it's just, 5G, whether it's, the move to Wi-Fi 6, whether it's electric vehicles, whether it's the Internet of Everything, right? All those play into, each one of these chip names and, currently their beta is 0.88, right? Which is, if you have a beta of one, right, you're as risky as say the market itself, in terms of beta, it actually has a return profile. It's actually safer than the market in terms of a beta measure. Pays a small dividend. Forward PE ratio is about 40, and in this market, especially in a market that has such a supply and demand mismatch, right? I think
5-year price target 11.09.
And it's
ranked in the app. It's ranked 467 out of 5,640 stocks.
Yeah, and inconsistency wise, right? I mean, it's been it's 467 today. It was 30 a month ago, 24 ago, right? 31 3 mm-hmm. months ago. 18 months ago, it was 7. It's a good way to step back into the market. It's a good example of what our portfolios kind of look like right now, kind of that barbell with, value on one side and, kind of our growth exposure being, some of your kind of input names that go into to the greater tech world. So it's a fun development. Like I said, you can kind of check out the newsletter. You can see all those moves we've kind of made, and Bill lays out a good backdrop for why we're doing what we're doing. But we appreciate you listening. Here to help. Look forward to talking to you, and hope everyone has a great day. We'll be back here tomorrow.
6:11 dusk.
Take care now.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.